New beginnings. What an amazing thing to think about new beginnings. Talking about new beginnings, we have another new beginning as we welcome autumn into this world, born September 9th at 5 o'clock, 7 pounds, 4 ounces, and 20 inches. Just Laura and Rick are so excited about this new, and obviously a daughter, but a sister seems pretty happy. And we got our Grandma and Grandpa are pretty excited, too. I watched Chaplain Bill here. He's about a foot off the ground, so be careful. But both, I know Ginger and Bill are so excited. Everyone's healthy. Everyone's doing well, and we're excited about that. Can you say amen to that? So congratulations. That's great. Also, tonight, again, we continue with Courageous Women, and we're excited about peacemaking or peace faking. And Debbie Bow comes and is bringing just an amazing message, and encourage you to come and be a part of this again. It's at 5:30, so an important part. Gentlemen, we have our advance coming up October 3rd. It's a Saturday. It's an all-day event, and search and rescue. We're going to be looking at some of the connections to the concept of real search and rescue skills to what God's called us to, which is to search and rescue, because of exactly what that means with salvation. So great opportunity. It's going to be a very full, exciting, different day that we want to encourage you to sign up for now and be a part of. More information is out there. So lots of good things going on. We're excited about what God is doing. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. As we turn there, we begin again this launching pad message that brings us to probably a year or two of study as we look at what God would speak to us about the fact that we're mighty in His power. And in verse 27, at the end of that first chapter, if you'll follow along with me, it says, "For God wanted them to know that the riches and glory of Christ are for you Gentiles too. And this is the secret." I love when I see that. "This is the secret. Christ lives in you." Christ lives in you. Say that with me. Christ lives in you. This, the fact that Christ lives in you, gives us assurance of sharing His glory. So we tell others about Christ, warning everyone, teaching everyone, with all wisdom God has given us. We want to present them to God perfect in their relationship to Christ. That's why I work and struggle so hard, depending on Christ's mighty power that works within me. There is a tremendous amount of powerful information in there that reminds us that, in fact, Jesus is the Messiah, who paid the price to save each and every one of us. Can you say amen to that? You know, I think about all the years of growing up and hearing the stories of a Messiah and thinking, what might He look like? What might He be like? What might happen? Only to discover later on, being raised in that Jewish environment, going to temple, hearing the stories, coming to that understanding as a young adult that Jesus is the Messiah. And to understand and to begin to put together what it means to be a follower of Jesus, to live a life with Jesus. And then to be called to become, of all things, a pastor. I mean, what a crazy notion to grow up in Los Angeles in a Jewish home, now to be a pastor in Bremerton, Washington. That speaks to a God of miracles. Can you say amen to that? And even more, as we see just the work that God has done and the fact that I'm still here 25 years later, I'm going to tell you why. Because Christ is in me. It's not because of something I've done or the things that I might decide are the facts and reasons for perseverance, longevity. It all comes down to something very, very simple that needs to be true in your life. Christ lives in you. That changes the ball game. Everything becomes different because of that. It's one of those things that, if you will, it declares there and it tells us, this is the secret. I love secrets revealed. And all of a sudden, a revelation comes, something that had been hidden for thousands of years. What would the Messiah be? Who would he be? And all of a sudden, and here's the thing that is absolutely amazing, that the secret is to us. We have been given the secret. The church. And you begin to reflect on that and think about the privileged place that we've been given. I believe the church needs to awaken to its responsibility and respect and honor to the Lord who revealed and chose to reveal this amazing secret to us. You are a prophetic people, given a responsibility, and the church must awaken again to fulfill its responsibility and not hope that someone else is going to do it. Because the church is in a place that's very dangerous. Given the amazing, awesome truth that we have. I mean, you look at verse 27. For God wanted them, that's us, to know the riches and glory of Christ are for you Gentiles too. And this is the secret, Christ lives in you. And all of a sudden was clear, this isn't just for a few, the Jewish people. The Jewish people were simply an instrument, a vessel that was used by God to get it out to everybody else. And that's what it means by the Gentiles, that everyone could receive this amazing secret that Christ lives in you. And when you think about what God has done for us, I mean, the Word tells us that He continues to work in such a way that none should perish. He has that understanding that is so clear in the Word of God that it is hope that every human being created could come to that place of the saving knowledge of Jesus. In other words, a personal relationship so that we continue on because the day comes when we will die. And then what happens? And the Word says there is hope for that glory to come. Why? Why can I have hope for that? Why? How can I have any assurance of knowing that my future is secure, guaranteed? And the Scripture says, here's the answer. Christ lives in you. That is the witness and testimony of the reality of what God promises us. And if we don't know that Christ lives in us, then how is it that we would ever have real assurance? You cannot depend upon what I say or what anyone else says. Your dependency is what you know for yourself. And we as human beings can be really aware and, if you will, honest with ourselves as to whether or not Christ lives in you. Because I think that's what keeps some of us awake and challenges some of us, is there can be doubt. And perhaps rightfully so. Why would I say that? Well, it's because of how you live, how you talk, the things that are going on inside of you might in fact be some evidence and insight to what's really going on. But when Christ lives in you, things are different. All of a sudden, there is a transformation. We've been spending months and months on transformation of what God can do and, in fact, how He does do that. Because Christ lives in you, there is hope of glory. There's hope of heaven. There's hope of provision. There's hope of God's protection. How is it that we have all the things that we would hope for? Because Christ lives in you. It's an absolute amazing guarantee. It speaks to so much of the direction we're going. 1 Thessalonians 4:13 was talking to the church, and he says, I want you to know what will happen to the Christians who have died. Now, why? Because there was a lot of concern back then at the Thessalonian church. They were concerned about, we're a little bit uncertain about what goes on when you die. And that scripture says, so that you will not be full of sorrow like people who have no hope. If you have no hope, then there is an uncertainty about what happens. But if you have hope, and how do we have hope? The hope of glory is because Christ is in you. And over again, the scripture reminds us of the truth of that. God's faithful. We're going to look at this coming year that God, you know, like Jeremiah said, I love Jeremiah 29:11. God says, I know the plans I have for you. He says, the plans are for good. He tells us not for disaster. And he tells us that the fact is that he wants to give us a future and, say it with me, hope. All together, hope. That's God's plan. You know, when you think about the importance and we connect Rosh Hashanah, you've got to realize that one of the key passages is a reminder that God does not sleep nor slumber. Listen, the very reason Israel exists today, the very reason why no one can overcome and all that has happened is because God neither sleeps nor slumbers. The reason you and I are still here is because God neither sleeps nor slumbers. And he has a plan for you, not for disaster, but a plan for a future and a hope because Christ lives in you. Can you say amen to that? Wow. So here is a message. Start living that way. Start acting like Christ lives in you. Start understanding. Let it become real so that when you talk and walk and live and breathe, let it be Christ that lives in you. We're going to see in a moment how very important that is. As we move into this new year and we understand this, the mission that I believe God is calling us to is absolutely clear. It's right there in verse 28. This is, if you will, a bit of a template. And I've asked all departments, all pastors, everyone who's leading to follow this template to begin to piece it all together for us that so we will tell others about Christ, warn everyone, teach everyone with all wisdom that God has given us. And I want you to understand that wisdom that God has given us is the Word of God. I'm not asking for worldly wisdom. I am asking for godly wisdom. Can you say amen to that? And so here it is that this becomes something that God has spoken as a mission for us. And so as we look throughout this year, number one, our mission is to tell others about Jesus. The church needs to awaken to its evangelistic purpose and sharing and telling to everyone around us. And so part of our focus in our worship service, our small groups, our seminars, our projects, our missions, anything and everything we do, part of what we will do will always be to tell others about Jesus. That I'm seeing churches losing its edge of telling and sharing. This is critical because the church must continue in this understanding. I have this sense of God doing something very supernatural. You know, remember Joshua was promised something and it was said to Joshua, wherever your feet would tread, that place I'll give you. I believe that's for us today. That wherever you go, Jesus goes with you. I just have this amazing conception in my head and my heart of you going into the store, going to your places of work, walking into your front door, going into your neighborhoods, and wherever you're walking, Jesus is there with you. Because he's in you, and he's with you, and everyone around you knows. You know, it's just, there's something I was watching, for just a few moments, I watched the beginning opening, because I was watching sports a little bit on Saturday, and they had some kind of champion fight. And at first I was kind of just watching, and it was just kind of I have no idea what it means. I have no idea about these fighters. I don't know who they are. I'm not a person who normally watches that kind of, but it caught me. And what caught me is I was looking at the guy who was the champion. They were talking about him because apparently he's a really old guy to be boxing. And I love to hear about old guys boxing. Can you say amen to that? And he was like one of the oldest pros around. He walks out and had his cap on. Jesus for us. National TV, major fight, and he's got the cap on, and I just wanted to go, high five, man. Because millions of people, I mean, there's the headshot, and all they see, I mean, this cap was way too big for his head. And there it was, just a simple Jesus for us. Telling others about God. I mean, if he can do that, why can't we? There's something so important about you and I communicating the message and then warning people. I believe that's one of the critical things we need to do is warn people. The word translates the idea of warning and admonishing. And the idea is that you and I go to people and let them know that your conduct, your heart isn't right. And to begin to bring something of a warning and to be bold in our communication, to even be more bold in how we live life, because the battle is right now. The battle for marriages and families and children and youth. When you think about the battle of our home that's going on right now, it is critical that you and I warn others and to not compromise the Word of God. And the church is compromising. I see it across the board. Listen, learn to maintain boundaries. Boundaries are really, really good stuff. And learning to maintain your boundaries. Let me tell you something. There is right and there is wrong. And we need to keep that clear as we read the Word of God, as we share. Look, there is forces around us. John 10:10 tells us that there is an enemy that seeks to kill, steal, or destroy. And anything that enemy can do to kill, steal, or destroy anything good of God, that's going to happen. And what better way than to get you to water down, minimize, compromise who you are and what you're about, and somehow get confused about what is right and what is wrong. We live in a world today that the lines are blurred, unnecessarily so. Our job is to, I believe, get out there and warn others so they don't slip and fall, to teach people, to connect people to their faith, to help them understand that there is a way to understand. This Bible gives us the information for the standard and practice of our faith. And so you and I learn, now listen, we learn this not just to know it, but to relate to it. Listen, when Word of God talks about teaching the Word, it's not just about the gathering of information. It's about the connecting in relationship to Jesus. See, the mistake a lot of us make is we think, I've got to know stuff. Now, nothing wrong in knowing stuff, but the knowing stuff is for the purpose of having a real practical relationship with Jesus. Knowing stuff is useless in this case because unless it leads you to the saving grace of God, then all you have is a bunch of knowledge. It's not going to help you for the future, for heaven. Now, I know a lot of people who say, well, wait a second, and this stuff helps me all the time. I don't doubt that. That's not what I'm talking about. I know people who have nothing of Jesus in them who actually will quote stuff like this. I've heard people who I know are not Christians quote the Bible and say, yeah, just and even using secular individuals, using Word of God as its authority to somehow prove their point. But it's not going to get you to heaven. And so we teach others not just about knowing, but about having a relationship with God. So we are going to tell others, we're going to warn, we're going to teach, and there's a mission to this, there's a purpose to this, and it becomes very clear in the next verse. We want to present them to God perfect in their relationship to Christ. There it is, their relationship to Christ, perfect. So how many of you here are perfect already? Come on, raise your hand. I want to know who's perfect in here. Yeah. Well, we define perfect differently than it's being used here. This perfect really is about becoming mature. So I got this crazy notion as I was talking and I heard from the Lord that God wants us as His church to mature, to become, if you will, perfect. Now, I realize, don't misunderstand that. We're talking about what an amazing thing that you and I could endeavor a season that we actually allow ourselves to mature in our relationship, to grow up in our understanding, and to begin to understand what it means to not be a baby, but a mature believer in Jesus. I'm going to tell you something, and I love you, but some of you are still on milk, and you need to get back onto some solid food and start eating. Babies start growing like crazy when they eat food. Can you say amen to that? They sleep better. All kinds of amazing things happen because at some point, milk is just not enough. And somehow, we get trapped in that. Now, the good news is this is nothing new. I'm not just making this up because in writing to the Corinthian church, look what it says, dear brothers and sisters, chapter 3, when I was with you, I couldn't talk to you as I would spiritual people. I had to talk as though you belonged to this world or as though you were infants in the Christian life. I had to feed you with milk, not with solid food, because you weren't ready for anything stronger. And you still aren't ready, for you are still controlled by your sinful nature. You are jealous of one another, quarrel with each other. Doesn't that prove that you're controlled by your sinful nature? Aren't you living like people of the world? Is that a hard statement or what? I do not like that statement. Every time I read it, I don't like it. I want to take it out. Let's vote. But it's there. Matter of fact, this statement is repeated in Scripture at a number of places. And it's just, it's truth. It's a battle that was faced back then. It's still a battle today that there are many of us that we're still living like babies in our spiritual walk. We have not yet grown up because we're not handling the solid. And so there's a sense here that God is saying to us, let's grow up. Let's mature. Let's start learning how to do things better. You know what? There is a right way to react. Things don't always go. Have you noticed life doesn't always go really well? And so what do? Throw a tantrum? That's what a baby does. Or do you respond in a mature fashion? I'm all about God bringing us to the place that when things don't go really well, we respond as a mature believer, turning to Jesus, responding in prayer, getting support, rather than blowing up. Man, I love you guys, but it's time to stop blowing up. It's time to start learning about there is a correct emotional response. There is a correct way to say it, to do it, to respond to it. And you don't have to give in to every sinful desire. I know you're going through a lot of stress. Doesn't mean you have to go out and have sex. Doesn't mean you need to start drinking. Doesn't mean you got to go down to the local cannabis store and get some brownies. Oh, no, don't laugh at that. You know how often that's happening right now? Give me a break. It's terrible to realize people are communicating the message, well, I'm stressed out, that's what I do. Is that what a spiritually mature believer does? Is that how you handle stress and being overwhelmed and those things? Because that's what the world would want you to do. They would suggest, yes, we're even legalizing so you can have greater access to all this kind of stuff. I'm talking to believers every week who are doing this. I know this is happening, and I want to see you and I mature in the things of God. Now, I want you to know a couple things. It takes work. This is work. This is not just going to happen automatically. You know, again, here it is in Hebrews. You've been a Christian for a long time. You ought to be teaching others. Instead, you need someone to teach you. When a person is still living on milk, it shows that he isn't very far along in the Christian life. He's still a baby Christian. Man, it needs to change. How many of you, for example, right now in this sanctuary are at least 1 year or older in Christ? Raise your hand. Okay, put your hands down. Every one of you should be teaching somebody else right now. If you're not teaching someone, if you're not mentoring, if you're not doing something to carry on, and if you think and say the words, well, I'm just not ready, I can't do it, then we're talking to you right now. Why not? Well, I don't have time, I don't have energy, you don't know how busy I am. I mean, I can hear all the excuses that can go on. I'm sure the same thing was said back here to the in the book of Hebrews, to the Corinthian church, to the Thessalonian church, to all, on it goes. Here's the truth of it. I don't want to do the work. I don't want to go to the Bible study. I don't want to read my Bible. I don't want to do all the effort and work necessary to grow. I'd rather you do it for me, Steve. I'd rather let somebody else do it for me. And I'm going to tell you, that is the church today. Letting other people do it for us. It's a process. And it says continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Savior Jesus Christ. I received Jesus Christ in 1973. I'm still growing. I'm still learning. And I love the fact that when I get up, each day is a growing day. Each day, and you know what? I don't have it all figured out. It's kind of amazing that there are challenges that still come my way, and I'm still learning how and what it means to depend and live and function as a believer in Jesus. And I believe that there has been maturity that's taken place, but it's still growing. Otherwise, you know what? This would be boring. And I got to tell you, there is nothing boring about living for Jesus. It is so exciting and challenging. I mean, life is constantly coming up with all kinds of crazy ways to help me learn how to grow. Thank you for helping me to grow. Hallelujah. I think the problem is we want shortcuts. We want shortcuts. We want someone to do it for us. We don't want to do the work, and I understand that. We live in a world where somehow we're looking because there's got to be a way to do an end run around it. It is a process. It's an ongoing, it's work, and it requires discipline. And it's something that it says in Timothy, it says, take time and trouble to keep yourself spiritually fit. So the point is, just like exercising, you got to work out. You got to take the time and effort to read, to study, to talk, to interact. I mean, hopefully that's one of the reasons why we hang out with each other. So you can iron sharpeneth iron. You have the conversations. You go out to lunch. You go have coffee. And you talk about what you're reading. You study, like we're all doing, the Torah. I don't think so. I have a feeling a lot of us gave up a while ago. But here was an opportunity to study and do together. I just finished doing a devotion on Deuteronomy 14. And just the fun of doing the soap and the study and go through. Man, I'm done with the Torah. I got a little bit ahead of you. But I'm already on Joshua. Oh, what an amazing book. But I'm telling you how exciting it is to read the Word every single day and say, God, what do you have for me today from your Word? And here's what I discovered. Every day as I read the Word, God has something for me. He has never once disappointed me. I'm telling you, God will not disappoint you. God will not let you down. He's always awake. So in doing this, I want you to understand part of what we want to make sure that we want to learn to maintain the basics. I have had this conversation so often. Look at the Word says here again, Colossians. We'll get into this more later. You have put off the old self with its habits, and you put on the new self, which God is continually renewing in his own image to bring you to a full knowledge of himself. Now, we'll study more about this, but this is actually, if you look at the Greek verbiage, you open up your Greek dictionary, look up these words, it really is an ongoing verb that says, keep putting off the old self, keep putting on the new self. So the scripture itself lends and supports, gives us evidence. It's a process, you work, you keep doing it. Okay, it's really simple. Stay with the basics. I have had this conversation my entire ministry life. I had this conversation last week. I had it 2 weeks ago. I had it 3 weeks ago. I specifically have said this to individuals. You need to get back to the basics. So here's what happens. Typical scenario, they come in. Can you help me, Steve? I have this situation going on in my marriage, my life, my work. Something's happening. So we're talking. as we're going through, and they'll talk about some of the stress they're having and all the things that they're going through, feelings of being overwhelmed, feeling sad, feeling angry, all these kinds of things, and all the emotions you can imagine. At some point, I'll say something like, well, how about the Word of God? Are you reading the Word of God? Well, what does that have to do with anything? I'm going to tell you, if you read the Word of God, it will help you. Matter of fact, the Word of God will help alleviate some of the stress because God has something to say to you. Well, yeah, you're probably right. No, I'm not probably. I am right. Really? So, next question. When's the last time you read the Word of God? Well, here's what I hear, usually. I don't remember. What do you mean don't remember? Was it a week ago? No. A month ago? No. 6 months ago? No. Over a year ago? And I'll say, how can you live having not read the Word in a year? And here's what someone said to me. Well, I listen to podcasts of people speaking, and I hear messages and sermons, and that's how I get the Word of God. No! This is how you get the Word of God. Reading this. It's called a Bible. It has scriptures in it. When you read this, it changes your life. Sermons and people like me can help teach and support and encourage, but I am not a substitute for the Word of God. And no one like me is a substitute for the Word of God. The Word of God is powerful. It will totally change your life. I want to prove something to you. Ben, I want you to touch this Word. Okay, hold it for a second. One, two, three, let it go. Let it go. I want you to know he didn't die and didn't blow up. Can you say amen to that? Thank you, Ben. Nothing bad is going to happen to you reading the Word. I think people somehow feel like if they read the Word, something's going to blow up in their life. And that's just not true. So getting back to the basics of the Word of God, committing yourself, praying, serving, being a part of community, telling others about Jesus. These are all the things, the basic things. There's much more. I could add a whole bunch of other things, but just take these six things. Do this, and you know what? Your life is going to be different. I guarantee it. I can't guarantee a lot of things in life, but I can guarantee that if you start actually having this Christ living in me relationship and practice these things, things will be a whole lot different. I had this conversation with someone. They said, well, I'm doing it. How often are you doing it? Once a week. So you read the Word once a week. Yep, that's all I got time for. I said, well, good. I'm glad you're doing it once a week. And then I asked the question, what would it feel like to only have one meal one day a week? I mean, you know, kind of an obvious thing, right? And of course, they said, well, I couldn't live that way. Well, how can you live this way, just eating one meal of God's Word one day a week? Can you imagine only have one meal a week? Man, you guys would be grumpy. Just make sure that meal is before you come to church. I mean, none of us would think about just having one meal one day a week. And yet, that's exactly what we do. Listen, these basics, I can't do anything for you. I can't do this for you. The church, the ministries, there is no place that can do this for you. So, man, I love you, but you got to get this. You've got to do this for yourself. If you don't do these things, then things are not going to work out the way that I think you hope they would. And there is no substitute. The Word of God, every day, yes, every day, talking to God every day, interacting and being in fellowship and serving and committing your life and doing these things. These are the things that you and I are going to walk through in this next season. And you know how we're going to do it? Resourcing the amazing power of God, because that's why I work and struggle so hard, depending on Christ's mighty power that works within me. Can you say amen to that? That's how we're going to do it. How is it possible that you and I will get through this? It's simply by you and I understanding that we depend on Christ's mighty power. Listen, I believe, strongly, passionately believe, we are here on purpose. We are an occupying force on this peninsula. I believe God has called us to be part of His army, serving Him. And for whatever reason you are here not by accident. You might say, well, the military brought me here and abandoned me and left me on the peninsula. Great, but you're here. Someone might think, well, I was born here and I just can't get away. For whatever reason, you are here. Now, I think this is a great place to raise a family. This is an amazing place. We live in an amazing place. We really do. But however you think it, you are here. And as big as the world is out there, and I love it. I love the big world. I love traveling all throughout the world. My responsibility is here. Now, let me say something very strong. Wake up to your responsibility here. We cannot ignore the fact that we are here, and therefore God's called us to live Jesus here. There is no other place to do it. Here is where we live, and here is where we need to be. And you depend upon Christ's mighty power. Because when you depend upon that, all of a sudden you're filled with life. You know, this shofar, such an amazing word picture, because you know, the word shofar in the Hebrew, shofar, means to be hollow, hollowness, empty. This shofar is strictly a container that is dead, according to understanding, and it is throughout Scripture. The only reason it becomes life is because why? You breathe into it, and the breath into this releases a sound, and it becomes alive. And it's true for us. Without the breath of God, without, as the Old Testament says, the Ruach, or in the New Testament, the Pneuma, you're dead. But when God brings breath, you're alive. You know, I find it interesting that when we look at the Scriptures and we see what it has to say about the shofar, Jesus, on the first day of the week, suddenly Jesus was standing there. This is an amazing moment. Jesus is resurrected and appears to the disciples. What would you do if you just resurrected and appeared to your friends? Hey, man, how's it going? High five. Yeah, all right. Give me a pump. Yeah, all right, man, we're here. We made it. We have victory. I mean, what do you say to people when you resurrect? What would you do when all of a sudden there you are? I mean, you got holes in your body. You conquered death. And so what do you do? And look what he says. He breathed on them. That's what I would do, right? I would never have thought of such a thing. But why does he do that? He breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. You're dead. You don't have what you need until I breathe in you the Holy Spirit." And that is being mighty in his power. You know, the Word of God tells us throughout, and again in Romans, the Spirit, the pneuma of God. Listen, it says, this is mind-blowing. I'm just going to end with this. I want you to get this. This is so crazy. Who raised Jesus from the dead, here it is. What does that say? Lives in you. Man, let that sink in. The pneuma, the Spirit of God, that's what we're talking about, raised Jesus from the dead. The most powerful force in all of the universe and creation lives in you. Man, someone get excited about that, please. See, that's the problem with the church. It's like, oh, man, aren't we done yet? How much more powerful of a statement can Scripture make than say the very power source that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you? And just as he raised Christ from the dead, this is crazy. He'll give life to your mortal bodies by this same spirit or pneuma, and even repeats it. living within you. How much better does it get? You got to start walking and talking and living differently, because God brought breath into you and He breathed in you. The Holy Spirit of God is in you, the most powerful resource that ever exists. You just can't walk the same, talk the same, live the same, think the same, because He lives in you. And we're going to spend a season together understanding that, connecting and getting it, Jesus living in us, the hope of glory. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, thank You for Your word and what I pray would be the confidence it gives us, the strength it provides. I pray, Lord, that Your Holy Spirit that lives in us, wow, would become so much more real and practical and living. Lord, I pray that we would anticipate and be excited about these days ahead, the weeks. How could we not anticipate what You're going to do? Because lives are going to be changed. There really is going to be a difference that we're going to see. And for that, we thank You. Because God, our hope is in You. Lord, You are greater, stronger, higher than anything else. And for that, we thank You. We thank You.